The Mishnah at the beginning, at the end of Sadi Tesam and Bey, spoke about an ilan shayim mesach ala aretz. If you have branches of a tree that hover over the ground, where the ends come within three tefachim of the ground, so you're allowed to carry under the branches of the tree because you're considered to be surrounded completely by mechitzos from the branches. The Gemara explains that if the area is larger than Beis Hasayim, then you're not allowed to carry under there because then it's considered dira shetashmisha la'avir, that the primary reason that it's surrounded is to protect the area beyond it, not the area under it. So if it's larger than a base of sign, one is not allowed to carry there. The Mishnah continues that shrush of gvo minaretz gimel tefachim, if the roots of the tree are three tefachim high off the ground, lo yeshev alehen, you're not allowed to sit on those roots, because that's considered using a tree, and that's why you're not allowed to sit on a tree on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that shrush ilan abon milamalim yishlosh l'tok shlosh, what if you have a root that goes above three tefachim and then down below three tefachim? So that's a machlokas. Rabba amar mutu l'shamish ben, Rabba says, if you sit on the part that's lower than three tefachim, that's fine, then you're within three tefachim of the ground. But Rav Sheshes Amar Asul L'Shamish Ben, Rav Sheshes thinks that since it starts three tefachim above the ground, part of it is three tefachim above the ground, the rest of it comes from a Dover Asur, and therefore you're not allowed to use any part of the root. So the Gemara says, this Machlokes has many nafkaminas. If you have roots that are shaped like a mountain peak, where the root itself goes up, but then there are small offshoots that come off of the root that go below three tefachim, that would be subject to the same Machlokes. If you have a tree planted in a ditch, where do you measure the three tefachim from the ground level or from the below ground level where it's planted in the ditch? Rabba would say you would measure it from above ground level, and Rav Sheshes would say from the bottom of the ditch. If you have a tree that's planted at a where walls come to a right angle, do you measure it from the top of the walls, which would be Rabba's shita, or by the ground, by the base of the walls? That would be Rav Sheshes' shita. If you have a tree that sticks out of a skylight in a house, so do we assume that since the area inside the house is usher to use, so the area above the house is automatically also to use even within three tefachim or not? That's also the subject of this machlokas. The Gemara assumes at first that when the Mishnah says that sitting on part of a high root that's within three tefachim of the ground is aser, that it's going like Rav Sheshes, but that it's talking about, we assume the case of our Mishnah is talking about where you're on the high part of the root above three tefachim, and it's still, I'm sorry, that you're on the lower part of the root within three tefachim, and we're assuming like Rav Sheshes, but we say no, the case in the Mishnah is where you're sitting on the high part of the root above three tefachim, and the whole chiddush in saying that it's aser is that even if on one side of the root it's within three tefachim of the ground and the other side of the root it's above three tefachim of the ground, that it's still going to be aser. Then the Gemara quotes a stira. If one is in a tree on Shabbos, are you allowed to climb down from the tree on Shabbos? So there, Gemara offers three ways to deal with the stira in brisas. One brisa says yes, the other brisa says no. So the first way to deal with the stira, kan mi ba'od yom, kan mi shechashecha. It depends when you climb the tree. If you climb the tree before Shabbos, you can come down. You climb the tree on Shabbos, can't come down. Second way to deal with the stira, kan b'shoge, kan b'mezid. If you didn't even realize it was usher to climb, or didn't realize it was Shabbos, then you can climb down. But if you realize that you did it b'mezid, you're not allowed to climb down. Third answer to the stira, b'kansu shoge gatu mezid k'miflugi. It's definitely talking about a case where you climbed the tree on Shabbos b'shoge, having no idea that it was usher. Question is, are we going to punish you knowing that you had no idea that it was usher? Are we going to make a knas atu mezid? Rav Huna then suggests that this machlokas about coming down from a tree is really a machlokas tanaim. It's the same as a machlokas tanaim about two different types of dam, of korbanos that are mixed together. If you have a matan dalid with a matan echad, dam that needs to be thrown four times on the mizbeach, mixed together with dam that needs to be thrown once. So Rabbi Lazar, who holds that you should be active and sprinkle four times in violation of Baal Tosif, may hold that you should climb down actively, that once you're in the tree, instead of continuing the isser by staying there, be active and climb down. Rabbi Yeshua holds that you should be passive and only sprinkle once in violation of Baal Tigra, would say not to climb down, be passive and continue to violate the Isser by staying in the tree rather than actively violating the Isser by climbing down. But the Gemara says the comparison is not a good comparison, because in the case of sprinkling the blood, when you sprinkle it, you're also doing a mitzvah, and when you don't sprinkle enough, you're only passively, indirectly violating an Avera. As opposed to the tree, when you stay in the tree, you're directly violating it. It may be passive, but it's direct. You're clearly directly violating Avera by staying in the tree. Then the Gemara quotes another stira about what if the tree is dry. There's a contradiction between two brises, whether it's mutter to sit on high roots of a dried out tree. So the Gemara explains explains, kan b'yimosa chama, kan b'yimosa geshamim. In the winter, when the dry and the moist trees look exactly the same, it's aser. But in the summertime, when dry trees are bare, assuming that there are no fruits and there are no twigs that could easily fall off, it would be mutter. But Rav Bika Matzah v'gadar b'geder. Rav said it's aser anyway. Rav just made it a specialist of the Rabbanon that even on a dry tree you're not allowed to sit. Then the Gemara has five ways to understand a brisa that says that you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. What's the pshat? You can't walk on grass on Shabbos? So it has five different explanations of what the yisur might be. But then the Gemara says at the end, v'idna dekaimel and krebe shimin, kulu shari. That since we pass on the krebe shimin, that a davar sheinu miskavin is mutter, the whole concern is that you're going to uproot grass as you walk on it, and that's only a davar sheinu miskavin, so we hold that it's mutter, that you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Then the Gemara teaches several details. The end of the daf is all about proper etiquette with regard to marital relations. The person is not allowed to force his wife to have relations, and doing so will cause the children to be unrefined, einam mehuganim or reshaim. Having relations multiple times without his wife's consent is wrong. With his wife's consent could lead to male offspring. A woman shouldn't directly ask her husband for relations, but she can hint to it. And then the Gemara lists 10 curses that Chava suffered, and it only gives 7, and then it says what happened to the other 3, and it gives the other 3, and then it gives 3 more for good luck. So we have perhaps 13 curses that Chava suffered from as a result of eating the Eitz Hadas. And then the daf concludes by saying that Ilmalei Lanit Natora Hayinu Lemeidin, even if the Torah were not given, there were a lot of Midos Tovos that we could have figured out just by looking around at the world. We would look at cats and we would learn Tznius. We would look at ants and we would learn not to steal. We would learn not to commit adultery from a dove. We would learn to appease our wives before relations from a rooster who spreads its wings before relations as if to say that he's going to buy her a coat. And afterwards he shakes his head as if to say that his head should be cut off if he could only afford to buy her a coat and didn't do it anyway. And that was the end of the daf with the Lagarta. Mitzvah will continue tomorrow.